I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
He encouraged us to, you know, as a family, to be there for them.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the sweetest thing ever. And it just made me think, because my marriage was falling apart.
Right.
At that time.
Right.
Hi guys, welcome back to the Just for Today podcast, where we dive deep into uncomfortable topics with zero filters. Today I have my really good friend Teresa here with me.
Hello.
Hi, thank you so much for taking the time to meet up with me.
Of course, I was happy to.
Good, I'm so glad. Me and Teresa actually met on social media. We did not meet on social media. We met through mutual.
I already felt like I knew you because Jory.
Yes, we met through Jory. And then Teresa is actually the one who kind of pushed me to make this whole podcast happen. So you guys can thank her for this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do remember you telling me a little bit about your story and, you know, your marriage and a little bit about that. So I did want to sit down with you today and talk a bit about that.
I never really talked about it, but I've always, like, I'm the type of person that likes to fix people and help people, mm-hmm. but I don't like to fix myself mm-hmm. or, you know, help myself.
Yeah.
So when you have problems and I can relate to it, you know, then I'm like, yeah, I'm going to help you because yeah. I've been through it, you yeah. know, I've been through it. So, and how I kind of got into this was when Kyle passed away with Jory. Mm-hmm. So I became really good friends with Jory and I knew like she wanted to talk about this and I could identify her with her because I had been, you know, with someone that was an alcoholic, which is just like being with an addict, yeah. same thing. It was a passion of mine because I knew how it felt to be
right.
in that predicament.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not talked about enough.
No, it's not.
Like, you know, we feel alone, like when it happens or when we're going through it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think it's so important to talk about it now. So people out there that are going through it know that.
And that's exactly how I felt. I felt yeah. alone whenever I was going through it. Yeah. I just would seclude myself yeah. when it was happening. I do think it's a topic that should be talked about, you know, and I'm just used to being on the other side of the camera. Yeah. So I'm used to hearing everybody's stories and understanding what they're feeling,
yep.
you know,
yep.
but actually saying it and out yeah. myself is totally different.
Yeah. Well, now totally it's different. Time for us to hear your story.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, whenever we got together, it wasn't something I recognized right away. And I don't think that it was ever like an issue. I think it was something that kind of progressed.
Were you guys young when you met?
Yeah. Each other? Like I was 25.
Okay.
When we first met and, you know, life was happening. We were young. You were just kind of going through the motions of life and, you know, having jobs and, you know, that don't really make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then you're like just trying to build something yeah. together. And, you know, that's the way it happened. And I just remember, like, when I look back now, I can remember how I could see it progressing. Like, I can remember, oh, it was just a tall can coming home.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just 3.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a 12-pack coming on. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a 24-pack. Yeah. So I can see, like, the progression. Yeah.
But inside, at the time, like, when you're living it.
Yeah, yeah. You don't really feel like you don't see it,
yeah.
you know, you're just like, oh, you know, he's just trying to relax
right.
after work, you know, but it didn't really become a problem until like a real big problem until he was diagnosed with cancer. And
so how far into the marriage is this?
So we were probably married. We got married when we were 25. So this, I think he was 35 when this happened. So
okay.
like 10 years. And it just kind of something that came out of the blue that just rocked our world. You know, yeah. we weren't really like, you know, you don't anticipate this to happen, especially when he's young.
Yeah.
We were so young, you know, and not knowing that this was such, you know, this lump on his leg was going to turn out cancerous. We thought maybe it was like an injury from, because he used to race quads and motocross and everything.
Okay.
And it was, I just thought it was something that was an injury.
Yeah.
And when it came back that it wasn't, and that it was cancer, that was just like, we didn't know, we didn't even know what to say to each other when they told us, you know, we were just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't even a thought in your mind.
Not at all.
That could happen.
We're like, we didn't know what, he like went home. I went back to work because the doctor's office was next to my work.
Oh my God.
And I was like, yeah, literally I sat at my desk and I looked at my coworker next to me, who was like a good friend of mine. And I was like, oh, they just told us he has cancer. She's like, what? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, well, where is he? And I'm like, he went home. I had no idea what to do. I didn't know what to do.
Oh,
and she's
God.
Like, you need to go home with him. And I'm like, I do? And she's like, yeah, you need to go home with him. And I'm like, okay. And I was just in shock.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in the medical world, you know, for a long time, but that was just totally out of left field for us. And
but when that happens, like, you know, they go and they tell you that he has cancer, like, what do you do? Like, do they tell you?
They tell you and then you're going to make this appointment. You're going to have this appointment and somebody's going to call you.
Okay.
You know, and then you leave.
Yeah.
That's how it happened. And I was just like, I literally, and luckily, like, I worked at a podiatry group and we had like a research center in our office also, mm-hmm. and that did research. And the girls that they came from a cancer place that were running the research center, so they knew. And so I went and talked to them, and they were like, oh my God, you need to do this, you need to do that, you know, like they were giving me the whole spiel. And they're like, but right now you need to go home.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. So I went home and we just kind of stared at each other. We just, you know, I know you have dark humor, so yes. I do dark humor too. And that's how we were.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We were sitting there and we were just like, we looked up. You know, the internet was pretty new, you know, because I'm that old. the internet was pretty new. So we searched, like, you know, people that had this sort of cancer, like celebrities or whatever.
Yeah.
And so we're like going down the list and we're like, oh, he's dead. She's dead. He's
dead. Great.
And we're like, okay, he's still alive. So we didn't know, you know, but,
and what kind of cancer was it?
It was lymphoma. It was like follicular lymphoma. It was like slow growing. It wasn't aggressive, luckily, you know, but at the time we'd went so long without getting this checked, you know, it was just there. And then I think one night he decided to search it, and then he came into me and he's like, I think this is cancer. And I'm like, no, 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 no. Like, we'll get it checked out.
Yeah.
I work with doctors, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's when we got it. And literally they got it taken out. We're like, okay, like it was
fine.
The farthest thing from our mind. Like we literally forgot about cancer, like that he was looking. We were going about our day. When we went to go get the results, we weren't thinking about cancer. None of that like was happening. And when it just hit us like a ton of bricks. So we got home, we started just kind of like, we're like, well, we just kind of didn't know what to do or what to think. And I'm like, we're going to be okay. Like things are going to, you know, and then we had to tell his mom, then we had to tell his dad. And then we had to tell my kids or my daughter.
So you have one daughter at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, it's been so long. I think Scout was probably a baby.
Okay.
So it was just my oldest that I had to tell. Yeah, actually, Scout was like, she was like a toddler or something like that.
So
she
did. Girls.
Yeah. She just didn't really know. She didn't really, I mean, we couldn't tell her like what cancer was.
Yeah.
Although we did have like she used to have a baby doll and it had like this black mark on her head. And I'm the weirdest mom. I used to want my daughters to play with the ugly dolls because I wanted them to know like they need love too.
Yeah.
And so
just the picture perfect.
Yeah. So they had like a Chucky doll. They had like, I didn't love, I swear. So they had this doll that had like cancer. Oh. It was a black spot on its head, like it's pink or something. And I would say, oh, that's just the cancer. It was so bad. I know it's so bad.
That is so funny. Oh my God.
That's what we would do.
Yeah.
You know, and they would love them. I'm like, you love them no matter if they look different or not, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I would teach my kids. They didn't really play with Barbies, you know? So she had that. That was the only thing that she really knew. And I don't think she knew what it meant.
Right.
So, you know, we kind of just went through all of that. And I think that he used to race.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was an adrenaline junkie. Like that was like his thing, you know what I mean? Like that's that was his drug.
Yeah.
Was the adrenaline. And so the fact that he couldn't race was a thing for him. Like it was a struggle. Like even though like that he went through chemo, he still raced, but he wasn't like at his peak performance right. as he was. Like he used to like win all the time, you know, right. and they would be like in the top three all the time. And we did desert racing and we had a team and that was just his life. He loved doing that. And when you take that away, it's kind of like, yeah, it's kind of like the whole, when you go to the military and you get out, you don't have that purpose. You don't know what to do. It's yeah. like when you get off, you know, when you play professional football
yeah.
and your whole entire life, and then you retire, you don't know what to do. And you, it just gets in your head, you know?
Yeah, you've been doing it for so long.
That was, I think that's what he was afraid of.
Yeah.
But when he started doing chemo and everything, he still raced. Like the guys still let him on the team. You know, he still did these things. He just wasn't at his capacity. And I think that he knew that, that like was getting to him. But through his whole like chemo sessions and everything, he still tried to race and everything. So that was cool. I mean, that was one thing that probably kept him going.
Right.
Was that.
Right.
Probably not me, probably not his daughter, unfortunately, but that was like his thing. You know what I mean? Like that's, I mean, he did for, in a sense, for us.
Right.
He loved us.
Do it for yourself.
But those are the things that make you feel complete exactly. that we don't understand, you know?
Yeah.
That, you know, I've never had a passion for a sport like that. But there's right. people that do, you yeah. know, that's their life. So that like really kept him going. And, you know, in the process of that happening, I would find him like in like his office, like on the computer drinking, and he would be up late because he can't sleep because the prednisone like keeps you up, or all the steroids or whatever, like it makes you stay up. And he just couldn't sleep. He would toss and he would turn, and he didn't feel good. And so I would ask the doctor, you know, I'm like, he's having such a hard time sleeping, you know, like what can you do? And so they would gave us like sleeping pills, like yeah. whatever, you know, Ambien. And so, and on top of like the pain pills that he was taking, you know, so he was taking pain pills, he was taking Ambien, and then he was drinking. So it was a combination of disaster,
yeah.
you know, and I didn't know, like, yeah. I didn't know like that would make him that way.
You just want him to feel better.
The Abby. Yeah. I just wanted him to sleep.
Yeah.
I wanted to sleep.
Right. Right.
Because if he wasn't sleeping, I wasn't sleeping.
Right.
And it was hard because, you know, I still worked and I still took care of the kids and, you know, it was hard.
Yeah.
So it just kind of got really bad. His cancer got better. Like he got like, it was like a 50-50. Like if we couldn't, you know, if this treatment wasn't going to work, but it actually worked and he actually became cancer free. There was always a possibility that it could come back.
Yeah.
And that's what messes with your mind.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will like have a new lease on life, you know, like, yeah. oh, I'm going to live life to my fullest this time. I'm going to like, you know, do this and do that. And, you know, because we only have one life. It was like he didn't want to live. It was almost like he was doomed. Like he just thought that it was going to come back. I think the combination of not being able to race like he used to anymore, because he wasn't like that anymore. He yeah. wasn't to his capacity, and that messed with him. And it just, he didn't, that's all he lived for.
Right.
And that was gone. It was fading away. It was kind of fading away, and he could feel it because his body wasn't the same. Like he would break bones, you know, because like the chemo, like he's got osteoporosis now because, you know, your body's not the same after chemo.
Right.
And I mean, his job was heavy equipment. So like, I remember one day his tractor like just slammed somehow. I don't know what happened, but it slammed and it just compressed his spine and he broke his back.
Oh my God.
At work, because, you know, he was just fragile. Like yeah. his body wasn't the same. And so like on top of that, like we had to deal with, and so when you deal with a back pain, there's yes. nothing you can do but surgery or pain pills.
Yep.
So there we go again, more pain pills, you know, because you beat the cancer, but now your like back is broken and, you know,
right.
all the, you know, these things are happening because of the chemo that you went right. through. That was, you know, something that kind of took over. It just kind of took over, the drinking and the pills, and it made him a different person, especially the Ambien, the drugs, the right. sleeping pills. Like he was a totally different person. He didn't even know. He thought he was sleeping. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
he, in his mind, he was sleeping, but no, he was like fighting with me, tormenting me. Like,
I've heard stories about that.
Yeah, like he didn't know. And then I would tell him like the next day or whatever, he would actually come out of it or whatever. And he would be like, no, I didn't do that. Like, I didn't do that.
Oh my God.
You know, he didn't, you know, at the time it was like he did, there were so many stories, you know, that it was kind of dangerous. So I called his doctor and I'm like, you have to stop giving him those pills. You have to stop. And so
how long is this now? Like, how long has
this been? This is like 5 years. Okay. Like, I'm going through this. I can't even tell you time.
Yeah,
like, cause it was like, it just, we were together for 20 years total. And I just think that the 10-year mark, like, I just remember like there was a big rift in my marriage.
Yeah.
And having to deal with that, just, you know, going to rehab, like after, you know, all those things, like he just changed as a person. His friends knew, like his friends recognized it. His family, we'd recognized it. Definitely his friends did. And he just kind of just became, sat at the computer all the time, kind of lived in the past, watching videos of him racing, watching all of his friends race, you know, and that was just a hard time for him. Yeah. He would listen to music. Sometimes it would be just like morbid music.
Yeah.
You know,
it sounds like he's depressed.
He was depressed, like, really depressed.
Yeah.
And, you know, to try to get him to get help was hard, but he did go to a rehab. He went to rehab several times and it was really good for him. He would snap out of it, you know, and he was doing, you know, the work that he had to do, but it was when he had have to come back home.
Yeah.
Because he had to face reality. Like, you go to rehab and like, it's nice. This is a nice place, you know?
Yeah.
And you're recovering and they make it very nice for you so you can recover.
Yep.
And he would go and he was an excellent person there, but he didn't have the care coming back home.
Right.
And at the time, you know, Shattered Silence is sponsored by Aspire. Mm-hmm. If we had something like that when this was happening, that would have helped him tremendously.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when you go like to these AA meetings, sometimes they're not the same people as you. You know what I mean? Like they're not the same as you.
Yeah.
Like the kind of person, like when he was over, like when he went to rehab, like in Newport, he found a lot in common with these people because they were like professional people.
Yeah.
You know, they had professional jobs and he worked for the union, you know, so these were like the type of people that, you know, that were there. But when he came back here, in Bakersfield, we didn't have a lot to offer.
Yeah.
And there were no rehabs here. There were like, I mean, they're just AA meetings that, you know, like in a side of town that you're not used to.
Yeah.
You know, and so he didn't find really that in common, and it just, he did really well back in Newport, like to me, you know, going to those meetings because he like identified with all these people.
Right.
But when he came here, where they were, it wasn't. But had we had Aspire how they are now, I think that he could have like done so well, really gotten that help that he needed. And this is kind of a controversial thing too. I really feel like he had some sort of, you know, like how football players have CTE. Mm-hmm. I feel like that happened to him because he raced and you crash and you hit your head over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And he's had concussions.
Oh yeah.
And to me, I feel like he really has that because he changed.
Yeah.
Like he's not the same. He wasn't the same person. And it's sad because,
it's okay.
Because he was a really good dad.
Yeah. I'm crying. Because I can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was a really good dad. But then, I don't know, something just snapped. And he wasn't that dad or that husband or that friend anymore.
Right.
And it was hard to watch. It was really hard to watch.
Yeah.
And it was hard that my kids had to go through this.
Yeah.
Can you try to keep it together? And this is why we have to talk about it.
Right.
Because you try to keep it together
I tried really hard, really, really hard. And my friends know, because, you know, my close friends knew what we were going through. And his close friends, you know, they knew in our family. But you really try hard to keep together for the kids. And so they have a normal life. And so they don't, you know, their friends aren't making them out to be different,
yes,
you know, than what they are. And you don't want them to feel like they're different or anything like that, or to think bad about their dad.
Right. Especially, you know, because they're so young, so they don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, there's only so much they can understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now that my girls are grown, we talk about it. My youngest, though, she was very close to her father, like really, really close. And it's probably been the hardest on her. That was probably the hardest on her. But because he just became a different person, it wasn't good for her. And I so badly just tried so hard because I didn't want to give up. I didn't want to give up on him.
Yeah. Especially knowing who he was, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know what he's capable of.
Yeah.
Who he's capable of being.
Yeah.
I think that's
the hardest. And I should have left a long, long time ago, but it was so hard. I would separate and I would get an apartment and then we would move in that apartment. But then we would still try to work it out with him, like in the house, you know. I would still, like, I didn't divorce him or leave him at that time. And it just got worse and worse. You know, I would try to get him to rehab again. I mean, we went through this like 4 or 5 times, but you just come back and there's just not that support when you come back.
Yes.
You know, we don't live in LA. We don't live in Newport. We live here in Bakersfield.
Yeah.
So there just wasn't, you know, a way to keep him better. I couldn't do it. I couldn't work, take care of my kids, and try to keep him better.
Yeah.
I just couldn't do it, you know.
Yeah.
And when I wasn't around, he was drinking. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he'll hide it. He'll hide it.
And at this point, is it still just alcohol or is he still doing pain?
Okay. It's pain pills. I mean, there's just so many things that went so wrong.
Yeah.
And we try to go to... I tried to go to a marriage counselor with him. It just didn't end up right. Like, I just ended up, like, trying. It went okay the first time. The first time we were there, we both had a chip on our shoulder when we went in.
Mm-hmm.
But the second time, he didn't want to go. So then I went by myself. And then I felt like it was about me. Like, you're just talking about me at the time. And I'm like, I don't want to talk about me. You know what I mean? I want to fix my marriage, but it's not going to be fixed. You know, like, I tried pretty much everything that I could with him. I had to move out. I moved back in. I moved out. You know what I mean? Like, I just tried everything. And when my daughter told me that I don't feel safe there anymore, then I had to leave completely.
You were like, okay,
it's time. I was like, this is time.
So when you say he's bad or he got bad, is this like aggression?
It's
like
his behavior.
Physical?
Yeah. Like, just like, it wasn't physical, it was mental.
Okay.
It was like he was this different person when he was on these drugs. Like,
right.
He was in drinking the combination.
Yes.
He was a different person. So he would want to scare me. He would want to scare me and he would want to scare her and, you know, almost scare us into staying with him.
Right.
Like, you can't leave. Like, you know, like, got so exhausting. We were exhausted.
Yeah.
It was so exhausting to keep trying and to keep trying that she was exhausted too.
And how old is she at this point when she tells you this?
She was in 6th grade. Oh. So it's so hard for me to.
12-ish?
Yeah. Like, something like that. She was like in the 6th grade, I think.
Yeah.
And
this is your younger daughter.
My youngest. My oldest was already like living on her own and everything. So she was like not at the house.
Okay.
So she
tells you it's time to go.
It's time to go. And she's like, I don't feel safe anymore. So I had moved out of the house already and I had a house and we had, some neighbors that were really her friend
mm-hmm.
and he was a detective.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember her having a conversation, his wife having a conversation and telling me that she was in the same position that I was in before she met her new husband. And she's like, you have to get a restraining order and you have to like take care of yourself and scout. And I just remember thinking, okay, I will. You know, one day, like, it just so happened that it was hard for me to like talk about. He came into my home. I was in Las Vegas with some friends and we were coming back and she was staying the night that week because it was just like a 2-day thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she stayed the weekend with them.
and I was coming back and I said, I'm an hour away. So if you want to go home, you can go home real quick, you know, it's because I'll be right there. And so she went home, but she called me because he had broken into my house. And
she saw him.
Okay. And she was kind of hid from him. Okay. And so, but I want to say, like, he hadn't hurt her or anything, but she was just still scared because he would just be like violent or whatever, like just not violent, but
like not towards her, but
like destructive.
Right.
Like he would be destructive, like with things and then just try to mess with your head.
Yes.
And so I just said, go back over, you know, to the neighbor's house and tell them. And so he called the cops and then I called the cops. And so as soon as I got there, he was gone and everything, but they went to his house and everything. And that was like when the decision that I made, like, I'm absolutely cutting everything off. And that's when I got the restraining order. And that's when I knew, like, she's not safe. This is not her dad. This is not the person that I know. Like, I have to like come to terms with that.
Yeah.
You know? So that's what I did. And that's when I made the decision that, you know, you can't have contact with him. So, you know, that's the route that we had to go. And I just had to make the decision. Like, I can't keep putting her through this.
Right.
I can't believe being like this. Like, we're both exhausted. Like, we don't feel safe. You're always wondering, and we just had to like, let go.
Yeah.
And we both did. And I didn't continue the relationship with him. I wanted her so badly to have her father in her life, but I had to leave it up to her at this point. Like, do you feel comfortable like talking to your dad? You know, do you feel comfortable? And there was times where she would feel comfortable. There was times where she wasn't comfortable. So I would never, you know, like I would never say you have to go see him or whatever. So when she felt comfortable, she would talk to him on the phone. Mm-hmm. And then when she wasn't comfortable, she had her own boundaries.
Yeah.
Those were her boundaries. Like,
and did he ever fight you on that? Like custody or anything like that?
No,
she's still a minor.
No, we went to court. And I got full custody because of his history. It was her choice with the restraining order and everything, that was her choice.
Yeah.
So she felt safe having that distance. So I had to respect that, you know. Mm-hmm. I know as a mother, I need to protect her and everything. Right. I'm going to protect her no matter what. Like, that's what I had to do. I had to come, like, I have to come to terms with, he's not the same person. And I feel bad that we stayed for so long. But I didn't want to give up. You know, you want to help them.
Right.
You know, you feel guilty giving up, you know, like I didn't, you know, I felt so much guilt.
Yeah.
A lot of guilt, yeah. But I had to.
Yeah.
And he made me feel guilty too. You know?
Yeah, right.
You know, like his parents made me feel guilty.
Right.
You know, like they didn't understand, you know, what I had to do.
I think that's one of the hardest things about dealing with, you know, being a spouse of an addict.
Yeah.
Is the shit you have to put up with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's so easy for parents or that, you know, like people from the outside looking in to be like, oh my gosh, how could you give up? But it's like the shit you have to put up with.
Yeah.
Like, people don't know. And if they did know, and if they like lived in your shoes, then they'd be like, oh shit, you know, like
it's crazy.
It's so crazy.
When it's happening to you, like you don't even realize that 10 years just went by.
Exactly.
Like, I can't believe I put up with it for 10 years. You know what I mean?
You don't realize how bad it fucks you up.
Yes.
Like, and it's fucking you up in the moment.
And you know, I'm a strong woman.
Yeah.
I'm very strong. I'm very strong at it. I would always say, you're not getting to me. You're not getting to me. You're not getting, you can call me whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. You're not getting to me.
Yeah.
But it did.
Yeah. Yeah.
It did. As much as you can say that, oh no, I can deal with this. I can put up with this. You can't.
Yeah. No, it's just with you.
It's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. And it's so much to where, you know, once I was able to cut him off and we were living our life, he would still somehow like show up or whatnot, and it would bring like a whole bunch of flood of memories. And then she had to still have a relationship, you know, with her grandmother and everything, but because her grandmother didn't think that, you know, us leaving was
the right decision.
The right decision, yeah. She didn't understand, you know, she wasn't living that.
Right.
And so it would bother Scout, you know, because like she would say, well, you know, like your dad, you know, wants to see you and all that, you know, she kind of make her feel guilty and everything. So Scout just had to have her for her mental capacity. She's just such a
mature kid and such a strong kid too. Those were her boundaries, and I'm going to follow them with her. I'm not going to make her see him. I'm not going to make her talk to him. I'm not going to make her, you know, if these are her wishes and her boundaries, then that's what it is. Later on it did affect her, you know, like she was really depressed in high school. You know, it does affect her. She gets anxiety. It did show up after a while. Right. So until this day, she's in therapy.
Right.
So she's still dealing with it. And so am I, you know, I'm still dealing with it too.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think that I wish I would have done sooner with her, as I should have like put her more into therapy, like made it more of a priority. Mm-hmm. For her. And I think because I was just so trying to be a single mom and work and provide these things, it was hard to do that.
Yeah.
But going back, I wish I would have made it like a priority, but I kind of like lost myself too.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
You think you're handling it really well, yeah, and you think you got it under control, and you think that, you know, like, oh, I like immersed myself into work. Like I just, yeah, buried myself into work. That was like my therapy.
Right.
And so that's all I did was just work. And mm-hmm, I didn't stop, because if I stopped, I would think about it.
Right.
You know, and then whenever I found myself like not hanging out with my friends, not like, you know, I would just stay in my room and just kind of seclude myself for, you know, and Scout's in her room. And, you know, that's kind of how we lived. And it was not good. It wasn't healthy.
Yeah. I can say, like, because I feel like that's kind of me right now too. Like, I think our mental capacity can only handle so much at that point, you know, like, because I mean, I'll do that. Like, I'll literally go in my room and like at night after all the kids are in bed, I'm like, damn, like, why couldn't I just like go build a house like with Legos or like, you know, but in that moment, you cannot do it. Yeah. Like, I just like, I do. I feel like the worst mom ever, because I'm like, I just wish I could spend more one-on-one time or like sit down and like watch a movie with you or do this or do that. Mm-hmm. But there's only so much. Like, trauma really fucks you up.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And like, you don't even know that trauma's happening to you.
Exactly.
Like, that is trauma.
Yeah.
So you don't know that that is trauma.
Right. Yeah.
That you're reacting to. And I didn't. You know, I didn't know about like any of this.
Yeah.
It's so crazy now how social media is, because it is out there now. Like, you hear about, you see these things and you see clips and you see little posts, mm-hmm, and you see these things like quotes. Mm-hmm. And like when I was going through it, I didn't have this.
Right.
So in a sense, it helps.
Like,
basically, I know that sometimes social media is bad, but sometimes it's good.
Yes.
Cause somebody talk, like you talking about it, you're helping somebody. Right. Like, that's why I get so angry with like these people, these haters online that like give you guys so much shit.
Yeah.
You know, why are you talking about it? Why are you like living
up? Yourself.
Yeah. No, yeah, don't keep it to yourself. Because if I had that, it would have helped so much more.
Yeah.
I would have recognized it. You know, I would have, you know, like, hey, this is what's help. You know, I need help. I need to go get help, you know? And so me thinking that I'm so strong that I can, you know, deal with this. No, I was burying myself into work, and I shouldn't have, you know, I should have paid more attention.
Yeah. But you did the best you could with what you had, right?
Yeah.
Like you did. And even you did though, even the fact of like you owning your shit and your daughter being like, mom, it's time to go.
Yeah.
And you're not like sitting back and not doing anything about it. Like, you're like, okay, like it's time to go.
Yeah.
Like, so you did prioritize children and yourself.
Well, I tried to. I'm not going to say like that I did 100%, because I tried to, but one thing I want to bring is, when you get out of a situation like that, it's so important to fix yourself, to try to fix yourself, to try to take a year at least to focus on yourself, to find out like who you are, like to see what's happened to you.
Right.
I mean, some people it works out for different situations, but I think the amount of trauma that I went through, that I really needed to like clear my head out, but I immediately jumped into another relationship, mm-hmm, and I shouldn't have. This relationship wasn't any different than the one that I was in, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what screwed me up. And I wish that I would have taken the time, you know, to work on myself more before I got into a real relationship.
We kind of talked about this a little bit too the other day when we were texting, because I feel like that can relate to like grief, right? And death. But the thing is, you are coming out of this marriage and you're not used to being alone. And you're not, even if it's constantly fighting and chaos at home, right? You're not used to being alone. So it's
the chaos is so normal to you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so normal to you that when you don't have chaos in your life, you don't know how to act.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're like, where's the chaos? Yeah.
And then like at the end of the night, you're like sitting alone in a quiet room and it's like,
and sometimes like, that's what I think. Like you have to sit with yourself.
But it's so hard.
It is
so hard.
It is.
Like I read something one time that said the quiet at the end of the night is the loudest. It's like the loudest form of pain that you feel, like
it
when
is.
You're going through that, when you're going through a divorce or a death, or like you're just sitting there and you're like, okay, like it's not what you're used to.
No.
So I think that is normal. And a lot of women, unfortunately, that do come from, you know, not a perfect marriage or like being mentally abused or whatever it is, or being with an addict. Like you said, you jumped into another relationship, but you don't see red flags because
I don't. I made excuses for red flags.
Right.
You know, because of course, like you're vulnerable.
Yes.
You're not thinking right. You're still hurt, but you need love.
Yeah. So anything they say is like, oh my
God. Yeah. It feels so good.
Yeah.
It feels so good to hear that, you know? Yeah. You know, of course it was all wrong to begin with, but, this relationship, but I just, now that I'm not in the, I wasn't seeing anything. I wasn't seeing anything but this person loving me that I thought that he was loving me, but you know, it wasn't really, maybe a little bit, but I mean, like it just was not right to begin with.
Right.
But because I was so vulnerable, I put myself in this situation.
Yeah.
And if I would have just taken some time for myself and gotten some therapy and just really focused on myself and sat in the silence because I'm doing that now.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in the silence.
Yeah.
And it's so hard.
Yeah.
It is so hard, but it's crazy because when I started the podcast with Jory, like it's my therapy.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that's been therapy for me too.
Because
like
you're hearing all these stories and all these people, you know.
Yes. Like I went through that too.
Yeah.
Like I know exactly how that person's feeling.
Yes.
I know why she didn't, you know, she went down that rabbit hole, you know.
Right.
You know, all these things. Like I know. I'm like, I'm sitting behind that camera and I'm like, I'm hearing it all, you know.
Yeah.
So I was really like, when she wanted to do this, it made me want to do this because of what I went through. Like not just because of Kyle, but this was my part.
Your story too. Yeah. Yeah. And like we've said so many times, that is what is so important about these podcasts.
Yeah.
And just it's healing and it's therapeutic. And
like if one woman hears my story and was like, okay, like I need to leave, you know, I need to take it. It's okay to leave.
Yeah.
It's okay to leave if it's not healthy for your kids, for you and your kids. If you are not happy, if they are not happy and you know your kids and you have to hide, you know, you can leave. And if I left, anyone can leave, you know what I mean? Like you will find ways, like there are ways to do it. I know it's hard. We can make excuses. It's the best thing that you can do.
Yeah.
It's the best thing you should do because nobody should be living in that kind of environment.
Yeah.
It's too difficult.
Yeah. It's hard.
It's too hard. And later on you don't think that it's affecting your kids, but it will. The sooner you get therapy, and therapy is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many programs that are out there now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, now that I work around it so much, you know, even like on social media, you'll see that there's therapy, like so many avenues.
Yeah. Like so accessible to like BetterHelp, for example.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like it's affordable. Like it's
affordable. It's, I mean, in our county, like I don't know about other counties, but I'm sure there's programs in other counties. You just have to look that are able to get, you know, I know that I work around a bunch of like Aspire and Psychiatric Wellness Center, and they, that whole outfit, they're just trying so hard to get mental health into Bakersfield. It's the big, you know, I can't say enough good things about them because that's what they're trying to do is, you know, get more avenues for people to get help.
Yeah.
Because it's so important. And Jory's so fortunate that she has them sponsoring her podcast because that's just another avenue that they want to reach people.
Right.
You know, to let people know, like,
there's help out there.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's the best thing right now is there are a lot of places that are like prioritizing that.
Yeah. And there's different types.
Yes.
Like you're going through like a different type of therapy.
Right. Yep.
Jory has a different type of therapy that she goes to.
She has like a hypno
therapy.
I remember she was telling me about that. Yeah. There's so many different kinds.
Yes. That works for you. Right. Like, cause it's not, the first time is not always going to work.
No. And it's not one size fits all. You know, like it's not one type of therapy is
like how many different therapists?
Oh my gosh, I've gone through so many. Like, yeah, but it's true, and I think that's like I do talk about this all the time. But I'm going to talk about my brother. Sorry, brother, but I'm going to talk about you for a second. He needs therapy. He needs to go to therapy. He knows it, and I remember we were talking. He did go to therapy, and he was like, you know, like I don't really like it. It just wasn't for me. And I'm like, okay, but like, how many therapists have you gone to? And it was the first one. Mm-hmm. And then he decided it's not for me. And I'm like, no, you have to try again. You have to go to another one. And maybe that one's not going to work. So you go to another one. And then maybe that one's not going to work, but the fourth one might stick. So that's the hardest thing for people is they go to it and they're like, nope, not for me.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but there's so many therapists out there and it's like a relationship. Like you're not just like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, you're
when I was going, I went to a therapist when I was trying to work on my marriage, whatever. I started to go to therapy for me to talk about my marriage. And then I was telling her all the horrible things that he was doing to me. And then she's like, well, why do you want to be with him? Like, why would you want to be with him? Like, no, you just have to stop. And when she said that to me, I was just like, I didn't want her to say that.
Yeah.
I didn't want her to say that. Like, okay, so why would you want to be with that if he did that to you?
Yeah.
I didn't want to hear that.
Yeah.
I wanted to hear like, oh, well, this is how you make it better. You know?
Right.
I wanted to hear that, but I didn't go back.
Yep.
And I was like, I would have panic attacks. I started to have panic attacks and I went to another therapist. And cause I was thinking in my head that I was having like, you know, I was like, I don't want medication. Like, I don't want to be on medication because look how my husband turned out, you know, but at some point I had to be like, they're like, you know, I was no. I'm going to like, I don't want medication. Like, I don't need medication. I didn't want to be that person, you know, I had to, because I was having these panic attacks. In my head, I was thinking, no, I'm having a heart attack. Like, no, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
You know, cause I didn't know what a panic attack was when I was having these. I'm like, no, I'm fine. Like, I'm not trying. I would go to the emergency room cause I was having these panic attacks and I'm like, I don't want drugs. I don't want drugs, you know, cause I would see, you know, like,
yeah,
because I work for doctors, you know, and there's like
come in
people would want painkills and that's what you automatically think. I swear, I know I'm dying, you know, that's how bad it was.
My heart.
Yes. And so they go, no, it's not. You need to see a therapist. You're having a panic attack. I'm not having a panic attack. So then I would go online and I did like an online doctor and he told me the same thing. And I'm like, no,
I don't like you.
No, that's not it. I'm really sick. You know, something's happening to me. So finally I go to a therapist and she's like, want me to tell you how many times I've had somebody in here thinking that they were having a heart attack? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, you're right. You're right. You know? So then I was like, so I started seeing a therapist. Yeah. It was like, but in my head, I was just like, no, like I'm good, you know? And no, you're not. It's going to come out. Like my panic attacks just randomly hit me one night.
Yeah.
And then it happened another night. And it was so weird because that's never happened to me. And I've always had control over myself.
Right.
And just to know that that was like happening because of what I was going through.
Yeah.
It was so crazy. So
yeah,
you're not having a heart attack. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Right.
Take the medication.
No. So I did take the medication and you know, even medication, like it's the same thing as a therapist.
Yep.
That medication is not always going to do right. Cause when I got on that first set of antidepressants, that did not do well for me. Mm-hmm. I was like in bed crying for 5 days mm-hmm. and I didn't get up and it was so bad that like when my ex-husband, he was like worried about me. He was like, he what forgot the- about himself for a while, you know?
That's how you know he's that.
Yes. And he's like, what's happening to you?
Oh,
you know, like I had to go to the hospital, you know, because or the doctor. And then they wanted to give me more. Like, and I'm like, no.
Yeah.
So then I went to a different doctor and they're like, let's try this. Different. And if you start feeling like, we'll like right away, like help you. So you just have to like find the right medication, right combination. Yeah. And it's not forever because I'm not on anything now.
Yeah.
I probably should go back.
thinking about that.
But I know, like, I feel like I'm more aware of, like, how things are happening. I'm seeing a therapist.
Yeah.
I see one every week and I talk to her, and that's, you know, and then just doing things like this, like, really, when you talk about it,
it heals.
And you open up, how many times that I've seen, like, a guest come in that's never talked about it. Like you came in.
Yeah. That was my first time talking about it.
And you never talked about it before.
I was so nervous. I was like shitting myself.
Yes. And the weight that lifts off of you. Like, I've never discussed this like this either. Like, I've not, like, only my close friends really like know what I've been through.
Yeah.
This is the first time, like, I'm saying something, you know?
Because it really is like a weight. You're like living with it. And like, once you do say it out loud, you're like, oh shit. Like, you know, like, that felt good. Like, that felt good, you know? Like, not just holding it all in and just,
oh my gosh, it's not a secret anymore.
Exactly.
Like, it's not, I'm not ashamed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not like, this is like, 'cause so many people are living what we're going through. Mm-hmm. And it's just only makes it worse when you hold it in.
Yeah.
A lot of people will DM Shattered Silence and I'm the one on the other end, you know? And I know exactly what they're saying. Yeah. I know exactly what they're going through.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then I share it with Jory and we're just like, gosh, you know, like, this is something that we're doing together that's giving us a purpose, you know,
right.
Because I went through it. She went through it.
Yep.
Like, we're doing this, you know, to help others. You went through it.
Yeah.
Like, this is how people heal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's also what helps with like the trolls and, you know, like all the shitty comments and mean comments people write. It's like, you know, I can get a million comments of like, oh, she killed her husband, or oh, he, you know, like whatever, all these things. But then
I get so mad.
I know. I'm like, I just feel like I'm so good at like brushing it off now, because then I get that one DM that's like, thank you so much because you are saying everything that I cannot say yet, but you are giving me the strength and the willpower to like want to do it. You know, it's like, and I get so many of those, and it outweighs all the shitty comments of like, you're just an attention whore, you're using your husband's death.
These are miserable, like, people that are sitting behind a keyboard that are like, that probably have gone through, or they're probably giving somebody that same.
I'm sure.
You know, like, they need help. They need therapy. They need for someone to like come on there. Like, they're crying out too.
Right. They want attention. They're just,
if your husband is going through it, or if you're going through it, or if it's a abusive relationship, or if it's a, you know, a mental, you know, mentally abusive relationship, alcoholism, drug, you know, all of these things are happening. Like, it's not safe. It's not healthy. Like, you have to like talk about it with someone. You have to get help.
Mm-hmm.
You have to listen to your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You have to listen and pay attention to them.
Yep.
Like, even if you think that they need a father, or, you know what I mean? Like, but if that father's like not being good to them, they don't need that father.
Yeah, because like, what trauma is that going to create for them?
Yes. You know, in the long run.
And then you're like, oh, but I just thought it was better like for you to have a dad. And it's like,
yes.
Maybe.
And I think because that comes from my own childhood trauma, because my father was absent.
Yeah.
So I thought it was so important for my kids to have this
because
father.
You know what it's like to not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I tried so hard. It made me try extra hard, you know? So that's, it's another story, but.
So what is the relationship now, like now, with your ex-husband and your daughter?
He's still not better.
Okay. Still same.
Same. So sometimes he comes out of it. Sometimes he doesn't. And like I said, that one.
Yes.
It's that CTE thing. Yeah. Like, I just think that.
Have you ever mentioned that to him?
Yeah. We talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about it. We would say like, we would donate, you know, like his brain, like if anything ever happened to him, you know, that we would donate it to that, whoever they do that research for.
Yeah.
Because I think so often people think that it's just football.
Yeah.
And it's not just football.
Mm-hmm.
It's motocross people. It's BMXers. It's, you know, people that like extreme sports that are always hitting their heads, you know, these concussions over and over again, you know? And
I wonder if this is so random, but, well, I don't know. You guys aren't on good terms right now, Or do you talk to him?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I don't.
And so I wonder if he's willing to do a brain scan. Like,
I know. Well, I mean, he's had scans. He gets scans like for his cancer and stuff. So he gets PET scans.
They do. No, this is like a brain scan. Where they scan.
Were they like, to see if it is?
So they can see like all these like men, like you act like this because you're.
I don't know. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
I thought they could only find out that you had it if you were dead and they got your brain.
No.
They like can, CTE.
I think it's probably expensive because I think it's like this new thing. But because Kevin did it. He did it recently and like it's crazy how spot on they are. Like they would know like, oh, like sometimes do you like react this way if you're like mad or if you're anxious or this.
I want to do that.
I do too. Because I'm like, my brain is fucked up. Yes. And so, and it also like, there's like parts of your brain, obviously that like respond to trauma, right? So they like were saying how like his memory and like all these things that he does, it's like, some part of his brain is messed up because of the death of his wife and like all these things and the accuracy. I'm like, holy shit. I
want
I'll send you.
Yeah, you have to send it to me.
This doctor's like really famous. He didn't go to this doctor, but he has like different offices. Oh my gosh. I want to interview him for one of my podcasts.
Sure. I'm wondering like if he could ever get help. I hope that he gets help one day. Like I just feel like it's so far gone. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And so Scout, her relationship with him, they just text. She's not seen him in many years.
Really?
Yeah.
And what about your oldest? How was that? Like when she moved out, was it just
disconnected completely? Okay. Because that was her stepdad.
Okay.
So that was her stepfather, but she just kind of disconnected completely. They were really close too whenever she was growing up. It got to that point where she was just like, she was able to like leave and you have her own boundaries too.
Yeah.
And so Scout, she definitely like, well, she'll talk to him. She will check up on him and ask, you know, like if he's doing okay. But sometimes he gets to be too much. She has to like block him and just sit back for a while and let it, you know.
Yeah.
But she goes to therapy. She's very good about her mental health and what she'll put up with.
Yeah.
Because of this.
That's
like
good.
She's learned a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm just really lucky that I've had two amazing daughters out of all of this.
Yeah.
Like they are so resilient and so awesome.
Yeah. Strong girls.
Makes me proud. Makes me
strong
so proud.
Mama, yes. Strong girls.
Yes, they are. They are. And I'm proud of them. Yeah. Super proud. Proud that I have girls like that too.
Yeah.
Just a mom, just in her feelings right now because I'm so proud. But so yeah, sweet. So she is very aware. You know, I've always been open with my girls about drinking, about drugs, about anything, you know, like I feel like that's why they've turned out so good because I've been an open book with them. Mm-hmm. I've been so good about like telling them like what would happen, you know, because I was young once too.
Yeah.
You know, I was like in high school and had fun and, you know, so it was important as they were growing up in because that to me, those years are like very critical years.
Yes.
The 4 years that they're in high school are extremely critical. I don't know if anyone ever talks about this. You really have to watch your kids, but not watch them as you're like hovering over them. You just need to be aware and like open and don't ignore them and like really like understand what they were going through. I feel like I didn't do that enough with Scout. I wish I would have like been more, but I was so in my head that I missed some, you know, things, but because she's such a good kid, like she pretty much was like, I need this, you know, and then we would take care of it. And her and her sister have a really close relationship. They're 11 years apart.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a big gap.
Yeah. That's crazy. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she often like would lean on, you know, when I wasn't in such a good space, she would lean on her.
She had her sister. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's sweet.
Yeah.
That's
I would always tell, because, you know, when Scout was younger, like, Michaela was in high school, and I would say, you know, I was always doing everything for Michaela, and I'm like, you're going to have to do this for her. You're going to have to do this for her. And so we tease about that, but she would always like, Mom, get her out of here. I'm like, but wait, when she gets this older, I'm like, well, I would always take her to like concerts or whatever. I'm like, you're going to have to do this for your sister. You know,
that's so cute.
Yeah. So they're very good. And my daughter is like an excellent mother, and she talks about emotions and feelings and
all of that with her girls.
Yeah.
And it's so nice, you know, and her communication, like with her husband, they have a great relationship. So, you know, Scout knows what to look for and she takes her time and she's not in any hurry. We have a conversation about this. And I think oftentimes people feel like you have to get married.
Yes,
and you have to have kids right away.
Right.
You know, and that puts a lot of pressure on people. Yes. And sometimes that pressure makes you drink a lot and do all these things and all those things. Yes. So I tell you, take your time.
Yeah.
Like you don't need to rush into a relationship. You don't need to rush in, you know, like if it happens, it happens.
Yeah.
Like focus on yourself. So she's really doing that, you know?
That's good. And I feel like also with that, like saying that, that pressure also keeps people in situations they shouldn't be in.
Right.
Right. Like, for example, like you're married and you're not in a good marriage and you're like, well, should I leave or should I stay? Because it's like, you're not.
You have to have this.
Yeah.
Happy life.
Picture you have to perfect
have,
life.
You have to have the husband. You have to have the kids. Yes. You have to, you know, like that's how life is.
If
you know?
I get divorced.
That's how this world, you know, society has it. This is how we're supposed to live.
Right.
And it's not for everyone. My oldest daughter and her husband, they have a great support system. They have like his parents. Mm-hmm. They have me. They have, you know, they have like a lot of people. Like she comes to me and she knows she'll vent to me and I'll talk to her about it. And he'll like talk to, you know, his, you know, mom or dad, you know, like, and I want to say this because his dad, at their wedding, oh, this makes me want to cry. at her wedding, this stuck with me. If anybody has kids that are getting married, you know, the most important thing for them is to know that we're going to support them no matter what. Like, you're going to teach them how to, like, work through these things. You're going to teach them, you know, how to make it work and to be their support system, you know, and not, like, take a side or, you know, like you're a piece of shit because you're doing this to her, you know, or whatever, you know, like, you know, you got to work it out, you know, and have that respect for each other.
Right.
So he had made a toast that in that toast, he mentioned that he encouraged us to, you know, as a family to be there for them.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the sweetest thing ever. And it just made me think because my marriage was falling apart.
Right.
At that time.
Right. Yeah. Aww.
And then just, like, I stick by that with her.
Yeah.
That whole thing was that what he said, like, really hit me hard. Because I didn't have that support from, you know.
You know what it's like to not have that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's important that you're, like, that with your kids, you know. You want them to live a happy, if they are getting married and they do make that decision, you want them to know that they have support.
You're
and
it's there.
Because marriage isn't easy.
Right.
Especially when you got kids and bills and all that. It's that's really hard.
Real life shit. Absolutely.
Real life happens. Yeah. And a lot of that you tend to, sometimes you'll mask that with a drink or two,
right,
just to chill, you know, to get the edge off or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying like drinking's bad for everybody, but some people can handle it and some people cannot.
Yeah.
You know, and there's different times in your life where you can have it and sometimes you can't, you know?
I was literally just talking to my brother about this last night. We went out for dinner and we were talking about how it is so different for some people. Like, let's take it a step further, right? You're like in your 20s or 30s, you're in your party stage and you go to a party and people are doing coke, let's say, you know, and you're like, okay, that looks fun. So for someone, it can be that. It can be fun. It can be a one-time thing. But then for someone else, it's like the beginning of the end for them. So it is, it's just.
Some people have that addictive personality where you can't like.
Yeah.
You can't just stop or whatever.
Yeah.
Just
and then I think that's also why some people don't understand. And they're like, well, if they didn't want to drink or if they didn't want to.
Because I never understood. Like, I couldn't understand.
Me neither. That's how I was.
I'm like,
Eric.
How can you not? If you love me so much, how can you not stop?
Yes.
How can you not stop for me?
Yeah.
How can you not stop for your daughter?
Yeah.
Like you love her so much.
Yeah.
Like, how can you not stop?
Yeah.
Like, I never understood and I never will because I've never been in that position of why I can't stop, you know, like. Yeah. And that's a hard thing for them.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand that.
And it's a hard truth for us too, because we can't love them out of it. Like there's not enough love in the world that can fix that.
No.
You know?
No.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing. And I just hope that more men, more men I would love to see. I mean, women are not, you know, out of the we can be crazy too, because yeah. not only we have monthly visitors that make us crazy, yeah. but when you hit a certain age, you start to get even crazier. Yeah. It's not okay, fair. Okay. So sometimes, sometimes they have to deal with us, yeah. you know, so it's hard for them too, you know, like, right. I'm going to get it. It's just like being human beings and living. And, but we just have to figure out, like, we just have to figure it out and figure out like what's going to work.
Right.
To, so you don't experience yeah. these things. But I truly believe these podcasts and some of these social media, like people coming out, like you and Jory, and I've just met so many of them yeah. coming out to help, and just our guests coming out into mm-hmm. talking about it. Yeah. It just, it makes a world of a difference. It really does.
I agree.
It doesn't make you feel so alone.
Yes.
Because I felt alone.
Yeah.
And I just would hide in my little, right. you know, room and everything. And getting out of this last relationship that I was in that wasn't very good, I found myself doing the same thing.
Right.
But I just had to like, okay, can't go here again.
Yeah.
I know what to do. Yeah. You know, I can do this. But this time I'm going to take it easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know I'm more aware. And I think I'm more aware just because of all of this.
Right. And so we didn't go into that. How long were you in that relationship for?
The second relationship?
After your marriage. Shortly after your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
How recent? Like how after your marriage ended?
My 20-year marriage. Uh-huh. Okay. So I left probably like 3 months after. Okay. And
how long
when
did
I left?
Last?
9 years.
9 years.
Because I'm not a quitter.
We're going to keep fighting for it.
That's terrible.
Oh my God.
That is so terrible.
You're funny.
No. Yeah. Again, you yeah. know, like, well, because I would always get fed, you know, like, I need you, you know, and that's.
You want to be wanted.
I'm the fixer. Yeah. Of course you go, okay, I'm yeah. going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to help you. But in the meantime, I'm just getting walked all over and right. trampled. And I knew, but it was hard to let go.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to let go. Like, even though I knew it was bad, mm-hmm. like, I knew it was easier to let my marriage go than this last one. It was worse.
Yeah.
Mentally, you know, because I never healed from the first right. one, you know.
So and it's just double
it up. Just really, like, put a number on me.
So do you think this time around, with all the social media and like all of that, did help you more with like wanting to get help, wanting to go to therapy, wanting to do all that to heal yourself?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because this time I put myself first.
Yes.
This time, like after like I went through all that and I saw that it was never going to change, and it was, you know, like, and then this podcast that I'm doing,
mm-hmm.
it really, you know, made an impact on me.
Yeah.
Like doing this, like, yeah. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm yeah. going to, like, this isn't right. I'm going to get out of it, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't heal from my first one. Like, it just, having the podcast just opened my eyes to a lot right. of things.
You're like, holy and then, shit.
You know, doing the campaigns for it all, you know, like, it's kind of like when a person would come on and I would feel, you know, it just like came out of me. Like, I know this time I'm going to take care of myself. Like, I can't help you anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like myself.
Yeah, I'm going to take care of myself now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was hard to do though, because I don't like to give up on people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
You're not a quitter.
No, I don't. I didn't want to give up on him, but like I had to, like yeah. I literally had to like do that for yeah. myself.
Well, now you can shift the mindset mm-hmm. and focus on yourself and don't quit on yourself.
Me. Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
Do that.
Exactly. No, that's like, I'm definitely at that point.
Yeah. Good.
So
I'm happy for you.
And I just hope that it doesn't take other people as long as it took me.
I know. But sometimes it's
you
hard.
Just don't.
Like,
yeah.
I can't even like telling someone and talking to someone about it if they're not ready to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not at that point, you know, like mm-hmm. I'm sure it will help them maybe later on, you know, or maybe not right away, but I feel like it's also a mindset you need to be in. Like,
yeah.
you need to be ready. Like, okay, I'm ready for it.
I definitely want to take care of myself now, and that's important. And I just hope that, I really hope that somebody sees this and they understand
yeah.
that
yeah.
they can get through it. They can, yeah. they can leave, they can get through it. They can, but just take care of yourself, because it feels amazing. I haven't felt amazing in a long time.
Yeah.
And it feels amazing when you finally reach that point. Mm-hmm. Like you, when someone's sucking the life out of you, like you don't realize it. And then you're nothing, you know, you just like, you look, I look at myself in the mirror and I'm just like, who is this? Who am I?
Yeah.
Like, I haven't known myself in a long time.
Yeah.
But my,
and like at some point you probably thought you would never,
ever be this.
Ever be that.
Yeah. I really, really thought I was strong.
Yeah.
I really thought I had my head together. I mean, my ex used to tell me that. He's like, I think that you're the strongest person I've ever known. Yep. You know, like he's like, I think that you're, he would always say something like, you're invincible or something. Like nothing's ever going to happen to you.
Yeah.
So that's probably why he gave me some shit.
Yeah. Thought you could handle it. Oh my God.
No, that's but funny. Honestly, yeah. Like, you're not invincible. Yeah, you're not.
Well, thank you.
I'm not
so
a superhero.
Much for hanging out with me today. Yeah. I do want to ask you one last question.
Yeah.
If you could go back and tell your 35-year-old self something, what would you say?
I think I would have told myself to listen to myself more, to listen to my, like, it was in my head.
Yeah.
Listen to myself more. Listen to what I'm saying, you know, listen to myself say, this isn't right.
Right.
I need to leave.
Yeah.
This isn't, you know, like I need to take care of myself. I need to take care of my daughter. Like yeah. I can't worry about him anymore. I needed to listen to myself more.
Yeah. Your inner voice.
My inner voice. Even though like my heart was telling me I can't leave him, I should have listened to my head instead.
Yes.
That's what I would have told myself.
Yeah. And I think that's something a lot of people struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
They go with their heart. They go with their heart.
And that's me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do that.
Yeah. That's really good advice. Thanks for hanging out with us today. And if you want to continue to be a part of these conversations, please like, subscribe, share, do all the things. And don't forget, just for today, keep going.